and welcome to Literary Loitering, where we talk about all the latest things in literary and loitering news.
Yes, in loitering news, you know, Owen was caught loitering around the KFC, waiting for food. How did that happen then, Owen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, one minute I go into the KFC, get my food, I wait for it, so I decide I'm going to wait outside for it. I don't know why. It just struck me for some reason. I was like, I'll wait outside for my food.
Interesting stuff. Yes. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the show. Bye, everyone.
Yes. I once loitered with intent.
Ooh.
I was waiting inside a tent.
Okay, well, shall we get on to the real show?
Bad puns are here to stay.
No, unfortunately.
Okay, we're going to start off with an 8-year-old girl who has struck a blow for equality over boys-only books.
Yes.
Right. Children's publishers Scholastic are going to stop gender labelling after an 8-year-old girl asked, what if a girl wanted a pirate book?
Yeah, because who doesn't want a pirate book?
Yes.
I mean, it is actually a good story, but it surprises me that it's taken this long for people to kind of get this kind of message. I mean, the whole thing about gender separating books is just to me a ridiculous idea. The idea that girls have to read princess books, boys can read pirate, superhero, war books.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the young girl is from Bounce Green School in London. She decided to get in touch with the publisher after spotting the title Amazing Things for Boys to Make and Do, the Captain of Pirate Fun Books, Pure Gold, in a catalogue for the Scholastic Book Fair coming to her school. She wrote a petition arguing that no books should be for girls or for boys. She asked, what if a girl wanted a pirate book and it said for boys? She might say, what's wrong with me? I like boy stuff, and collected more than 80 signatures from friends, teachers and family members. Yes, I think we have the new leader of the Lib Party.
Yeah,
yes.
Good on her. Actually, no. She's way too efficient into politics.
She'd make a much better leader of the Labour Party than the current leader of the Labour Party.
Are we really striving into politics right now?
No, I'm just saying she'd make a much better leader than the current one. We're not going into politics. I'm just making the comment she would be better.
Okay, yes, and I think a lot of people might agree with you.
That's pretty much all I was going for.
Yes.
Anyway, yes, Els sent it to the publisher with the support of the campaign group Let Books Be Books, which also took Scholastic to task over an online tool for book recommendations. The Book Wizard quizzes children on their interests and, until Friday, offered very different questions and different books to boys and girls. But it has apparently since been fixed, and Scholastic will be removing the four boys and four girls.
That is a kind of problem with the target market theory. It's like you're writing something for the target market. It's like, well, we'll write this for girls aged this and this, and we'll write that for boys aged this and this.
Yeah, I mean, you see that when you walk into toy shops, you see it. They section things off for the girls, and
boys get action figures, girls get dolls.
Well, not only that, they color code it as well, because you know if you walk into a toy shop, you as an adult man should have no business walking into the area that is pink. Yeah.
Especially when you accidentally walk into it, so that you walk around the shop and then you realize, I've just walked into into the danger zone.
We were in the local toy shop in Middlesbrough Town Centre.
I just need to establish something. So does that mean that kind of the aisle leading up to that section is the highway to the danger zone?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Thank you, Andrew, for that. I told you the awful puns were here to stay.
Yes, they are.
Andrew's joining in the fun. Yes. Anyway, yes, we were in
local
the
toy shop.
Yeah,
yes.
We were in the local toy shop, and at the back they've got this pink area. Even the flooring is pink, right? Yeah. And we knew not to set foot in there.
Yeah.
We knew we had no business going in there. And it's a strange and disturbing experience when you accidentally walk in there, because you're just kind of like, I need to find the way out. It's a bit like being inside the Minotaur's labyrinth, only it's not Minotaurs, it's like 6-year-old girls.
With Barbies.
And they're all screaming over the latest Barbie doll. It's surreal and strange and disturbing. you just feel really, really, you just want to leave.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, I don't belong here, too much pink. And this is my reasoning for why men should never wear pink shirts.
It's the fact that it's at the back of the shop.
It's not a manly colour.
It's not.
It's the fact that it's at the back of the shop as well. I mean, the girls have to walk through the boys' stuff to get to their stuff. Why can't boys have to walk through the girls' aisles to get to the men's stuff?
Hey, boys playing with men's toys?
No.
Are we talking like submachine guns and motor cars and stuff like that?
What kind of toy shop have you been to?
Have you not been to it once in America? No.
I have been to some amazing toy shops, I'll have you know.
Yes. But, no, it's the fact that the girls' stuff is at the back of the shop as well.
Yes. Well, it's not always at the back of the shop. If you go to bigger places like Toys R Us, it's all kind of on a level.
They just place it
all in different places.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I suppose it depends on the size of the shop.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Color coding.
Yes.
Pink.
Gender discrimination.
Yeah. Pink might have been a perfectly fine color. I've got nothing against pink as a color. It's just that historically it's always been associated with girls.
Except wasn't it originally like associated with boys?
Cut blue is associated with boys, isn't it?
Yeah, but I feel like I read somewhere once that like originally, like way back in the day, it was
pink was originally associated with boys.
Yes,
which is why men these days assume they can wear a pink shirt. You can't. are not allowed. If you are a man, then you do not wear pink.
So am I allowed to drink pink lemonade?
You can drink pink lemonade.
Okay.
You know, drinking pink lemonade is fine. But if you go for a cocktail and it is pink, you know, that's a different thing.
Ryan, we've got some... you should put that cocktail on.
And no, you should never wear a pink shirt as a grown man.
I
It's not pink, it's salmon, is it, Ryan?
that justification. I had a... PE teacher who part of his uniform was a pink shirt, but he also had a blue shirt as well. I used to point out men don't wear pink. He did, yeah, I can.
No. On one day he was girly, on the other day he was manly. That's how you do it.
Nah, he was always kind of in between that.
Lesson, pink shirt on.
Oops. No.
Boys PE lesson, blue shirt.
No. You could tell which shirt he was wearing that day by his hand gestures. You know, if he was doing the finger against the lips and looking coyly at people, he was wearing the pink shirt. And if he was being all manly, you know, hands on hips, chest thrust out, you know, you could see his chest hair.
That was
bulging.
Blue shirt day.
Yeah, that was the blue shirt day.
Yeah. Now he was always a cross between the two.
It's like testosterone injection. You know, blue shirt, testosterone. Pink shirt, estrogen.
Moving on.
Yes. Anyway, moving on. Yes, men don't look good in that. Right. Breakfast Bonanza. Right. There is a place called the Serial Killer Cafe in East London, right? And the owners of the Serial Killer Cafe, Gary and Alan Keary, they are releasing a cookbook which, as well as containing 40 recipes for what to do with your wheats, corns and bran, will also reveal to its readers the important rules of cereal eating.
I do like that.
Yeah, I've heard the recipes on murder. I'm sorry.
The identical twins, Gary and Alan Keary, sparked a gentrification debate last year when they opened their first branch in the hipster heartland of Shoreditch, East London, which sells 120 types of cereal for up to £4.40 a bowl. Why? Why are people paying £4.40 a bowl for a...
No, you could pay half of that and get a box of cereal.
And take it home and eat the entire box.
Yeah, exactly. Just get a big-ass bowl. Or just... pour milk into the box. Well, into the clean film.
Well, for that price, you could buy the milk and a huge box of Crunchy Nut cornflakes, and you know you could take them home and eat them all.
Exactly. It's going to turn into that advert, isn't it? The Crunchy Nut adverts.
Yeah. Anyway, some question the fairness of the Keery's pricing. Also, they also offer premium milks for an extra 40p.
Premium milks?
Yeah, for an extra 40p and toast for £1.50.
What?
While others, including the London Mayor Boris Johnson, rushed to defend their entrepreneurial spirit.
Boris is going to defend it.
He's a Tory. I can't expect him to defend anything that's fair.
Very nice.
That's the advert for them right there.
Yes.
Serial Killer Cafe.
As sponsored by Boris Johnson, just a picture of him.
Very nice.
Just a picture of him with a big bowl of Lucky Charms going, very nice.
Oh, no. Because it's, if it, like, he's like, have his tie just dipped in the cereal.
Yes.
It's Boris Johnson, after all.
£1.50. You know,
a random marshmallow stuck to his face somewhere.
£1.50 for some toast.
Yes.
And a loaf costs a quid.
Yes.
And you won't even use 50p worth of electricity or gas to make the toast itself.
Yes.
But then I guess because you also have to buy, like, the butter and the marmalade / jam / honey.
True.
They didn't mention anything about marmalade or butter or jam.
Is that, that's a good, okay.
As far as we are aware, it's just toast.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, you want butter? That's extra 40p.
Yes. Because it comes from special cows. It's made from special milk.
A marmalade, this has been guaranteed by Paddington Bear himself. That's 50p.
So show me these special cows. Where are they? What are they doing? Where did you get them?
No, see, what it is the cows are invisible, and that's why they're special.
Oh, yes. Now that's...
So you have to find them to milk them.
Oh, okay, that's too problematic right there.
Yes, anyway, we'll step away from the precipice with that one.
That's just going to go too far.
Move on to the Commonwealth Short Story Competition. And first time, Fijian author Mary Rakonadravu hopes her victory in a regional heat will inspire other writers in the Pacific region to tell the stories of their homelands. It's actually pretty cool that we have a Commonwealth Prize for short stories.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not usual for a collection of nations to have a prize for literature. Europe doesn't have a prize for literature.
No.
Does it?
No.
Turkey has the Nobel Prize for literature, but that's a bit different.
Europe-wide, kind of the European Short Story Award. We have the Eurovision Song Contest. So why not the European Short Story Award?
Mm.
Where at the end of where after all the nominations are in and all the regional heats are done, the authors have to stand on stage in front of thousands of people and a live studio audience and beamed out to millions of homes, and they have to stand there in their most fabulous costumes and they have to recite their work.
Just like with elaborate fireworks shows going on in the background.
Yes, just the random, random stage acts like, Pudsey the dog, just dancing away in the background. You're reading a short story about the Holocaust or something like that.
I don't think I want this show.
No. Even if Terry Wogan was the commentator.
Especially if Terry Wogan was the commentator.
Philistine!
No, right. I like
Did
Terry.
I just
gonna have a problem.
Yeah. I like Terry Wogan, but there's a point where he's doing too much.
He's not doing anything at the moment, which is why we want him back on Eurovision.
Okay, you got a point. You got a point.
I think we need to move on before there's a situation here.
Oh,
the
God,
situation's
yeah.
already here.
the look of sheer anger on Andrew's face was, oh yes, you do not diss the Wogan.
No. I was a little bit. I respect Terry Wogan. I just think someone else, Graham Norton.
Graham Norton was hosting Eurovision for a while.
Yeah.
And he was really good at it. But, Wogan just had deadpan delivery.
Okay, Wogan does have something.
The master.
Wogan does have something about him.
Basically, Wogan proved that Eurovision should not be taken seriously by anyone.
Who thought it should be taken seriously?
Well, obviously, certain sections of the British public, because, look at it. It makes the national news every year.
Yeah, like it's a legitimate singing competition.
Yes. Yeah. Right, okay. Moving on from one prize to another. The 2015 Pulitzer Prizes. We have a full list of the winners. So we'll do a quick run through them. Public service, for public service, the winner was The Post and Courier by Charleston, South Carolina. For breaking news reporting was the Seattle Times staff. For investigative reporting, two prizes, the Eric Lipton of the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal staff.
I'm glad the Sun didn't get that.
Explanatory reporting was Zachary Armida of Bloomberg News. Local reporting was Rob Kuznia Rebecca Kimmich and Frank Suracci of the Daily Breeze, Torrance, California. National reporting was Carol D. Leonig of the Washington Post. Anyway, moving on to feature writing.
Yeah, it seems like it was quite a big range of newspapers.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the Pulitzer is always more news-related but and factual book-related.
Yeah.
So it makes it more one of the stranger prizes because it's not often you get a journalism award. And oh, look, I wrote the best article today.
I mean, we're coming close to the end of a region of time where journalism has not been the most reputable profession in most recent
years. Yeah,
terms.
But that's because of the phone hacking stuff and everything like that. Not everybody got engaged in the phone hacking stuff. True. I know a lot of journalists who didn't get involved with the phone hacking stuff.
No, that's true. But there's also some like investigative journalism that sort of a couple of facts were not necessarily true.
Well, investigative journalism has, in newspapers, it's still a strong thing, but you don't see it as much on TV these days, do you?
Yeah, it's much more just kind of reports and stuff without that investigative.
Who was that old guy who used to chase people around with the camera? You're not the one I'm on about.
Yes. Well,
plenty of people with cameras. Don't look at me like that.
I'm just wondering, is this the voice of experience?
No. I've not broken any laws.
Yet.
As he knows, he's researched them all very carefully.
I've read the entire...
You walked into that one, Owen.
I've read the entire Almata.
Right, okay. We're going to move on to a bit of Batman news. Apparently, Bruce Wayne is not going to be Batman anymore.
This is ridiculous.
Yes.
Absolutely. Who wants to break the news? Well,
can I do it?
Yes, you can do it.
So, according to things that have been leaked over the internet, the new Batman is going to be Commissioner Gordon.
Why?
I don't even know. Apparently he's going to be like running around like a robot Batman suit and he's going to have a gun and I'm so confused.
So hang on. How is he going to balance running the police department with being a crime-fighting vigilante? And how is he going to... How is he going to get in that situation where he is the police, the big shot policeman, and he corners Batman?
It's weird. Like,
I really don't know.
Is someone just going to some police officer going to put two together? You know, Commissioner, we used to see you talking to Batman, but now we never see the two of you together. Why is that?
Because I'm Batman.
I mean, considering I'm pretty... Yeah, Commissioner Gordon has a few years on Bruce Wayne, so it's kind of a weird step.
Well, yeah, it is a weird step. I mean, what's going to happen? Is he going to, you know, is he going to land somewhere and go, oh, me knee, oh, me back?
We're not being ageist, by the way. I just want to point that out. It's just fact.
No, I'm just saying that's what I would say.
No, I know you would.
Well, I think it will add a lot more tension to the comics because it's like, can Jim Gordon overcome his gammy hip to solve the crime?
Oh, I just see like some kind of 60s commentator doing that in kind of like a 60s style program.
Batman, now with Bat Zimmer for him.
Oh God, this is not going to go well.
For all your travel needs, make it Bat Zimmer.
Look, Batman, he left a clue on the ground. Okay, just hold. Let me get my extra big reading glasses out.
Yeah, I'll just bend that. Oh, my back. But yes. Yeah, there's... It's ridiculous. I mean, you were saying earlier, someone was saying earlier, it should either go to one of the Robins or Batman's son, or Rob Bruce Wayne's son even. So it is a weird step to kind of go, well, rather than handing it down to someone...
so many characters who could be Batman.
Yeah, rather than handing it to someone younger, go to someone... Although they could have even... Well, no, because that would never work.
Go with that thought, don't worry.
No, because it was a terrible thought. It really was. I'm not. I'm cancelling.
Please say Alfred.
I'm cancelling. Oh, no. That's actually better than what I was going to say. Yes, Alfred is Batman. Okay, there we go.
Actually, that could work.
Yeah, it could. He's not.
That's a pretty cool idea, Owen.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm glad I helped you think.
Yes.
although the downside is Alfred would make tea for the villains.
Oh, now that's actually.
He'd serve them tea and cake. And he'd sit down and chat with them about the issues of the day.
No.
There may even be a vicar there so they can say more tea vicar.
No, because he could do like a old style gangster. The bad guys get to the hideout. He's just there, it's like sat in a chair. Would any of you like some tea? I always like a good cup of tea before I get to work.
That's an old style gangster.
No, because
I'm reviewing the Long Good Friday outside of my Eclectica today.
Oh, that's right.
That's not an old style gangster.
No, because I'm thinking the kind of guys that kind of talk like they're caring, but they're actually being really threatening. That's what I was thinking that he could do.
Cool.
Yeah.
But so you sit down and you drink your tea.
Right, shall we move on?
Yes.
Right. World Book Night is coming up soon.
Yes.
And we have a list of the books that are going to be given away. So the list of 20 books, the list of 20 books represents authors from very different literary backgrounds. And these are the books that they're going to be giving away free. So starting at the top, Essential Poems from the Staying Alive trilogy, edited by Neil Astley. When they say the Staying Alive trilogy,
don't do it.
Automatically, I'm in John Travolta mode.
Ah, you did it. No, just please. Not the white suit.
Well, you can tell.
God,
I'm a woman's man.
I apologize that we've broken that book for everyone now.
Yes. Sorry, it might have been about something serious, but now you're just going to imagine John Travolta in a white suit and the Bee Gees.
Might as well listen to that song whilst reading this book.
Anyway, moving on to Street Cat Bob, How One Man and a Cat Saved Each Other's Lives, which is a true story. Mm. I remember reading about this. Escape from Camp 14, One Man's Remarkable Odyssey from North Korea to Freedom in the West.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
By Blaine Harden. So, Street Cat Bob was by James Bowen. When God Was a Rabbit by Sarah Winman. Looks interesting. Linda LaPlante, Prime Suspect. Always a good read. Prime Suspect TV series. Remember they were talking about taking that to America at some point?
Mm.
Yeah, I can't see that working too well.
No, I think it's a very British thing, and I think it should stay. But it is a legendary TV series. Right. Moving on, Water for Elephants by Sarah Gruen, which I didn't actually like that much.
I only know it as that average Robert Pattinson film.
Yeah.
Which describes every Robert Pattinson film.
The book was average as well.
Yeah.
Charity Norman, After the Fall, which is in the quiet of a New Zealand winter's night, a rescue helicopter is sent to airlift a five-year-old boy with severe internal injuries. He's fallen from the upstairs veranda of an isolated farmhouse and his condition is critical. At first, Finn's fall looks like a horrible accident. After all, he's prone to sleepwalking. Only his frantic mother, Martha McNamara, knows how it happened and she isn't telling. Not yet. Maybe not ever.
Okay.
By Rachel Joyce, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. When Harold Fry nips out one morning to post a letter, leaving his wife hoovering upstairs, he has no idea he's about to walk from one end of the country to the other. He has no hiking boots or map, let alone a compass, waterproof or mobile. All he knows is that he must keep walking to save someone else's life. Now, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
It does, although in my mind, I've read like a really low-budget version of Speed.
Oh, I like that.
I'm not going to be able to read that without in my head going, pop quiz. You have a hair trigger pointed at your head. What do you do? What do you do?
Okay, so that's two books broken.
Yes. Skellig by David Armand. When a move to a new house coincides with his baby sister's illness, Michael's world seems suddenly lonely and uncertain. Then one Sunday afternoon, he stumbles into the old ramshackle garage of his new home and finds something magical, a strange creature, part owl, part angel, a being who needs Michael's help if he is to survive. Okay?
All right,
so
then.
That's a true story one as well, then?
Possibly. We don't know. Right. Honor by Elif Shafak. Leaving her twin sister behind, Pembe leaves Turkey for love, following her husband, Adam, to London, where there the Topraks hope to make new lives for themselves and their children. Yet no matter how far they travel, the traditions and beliefs of the Topraks left behind stay with them, carried in the blood. Their eldest, the boy Iskender, who remembers Turkey and feels betrayal deeper than most. His sister is Esma, who is loyal and true despite the pain and heartache. And lastly, Eunice, who was born in London and is shy and different. Interesting. It's a story told from the immigrant's perspective, so yeah.
Yeah, that could definitely be interesting.
Yes. Roddy Doyle book, now, Dead Man Talking. Pat has been best friends with Joe Murphy since they were kids, but years ago they had a fight about a horse. Because everyone fights over horses.
Oh, yeah.
In a Roddy Doyle book.
Of course. Except
Paddy Clark, because nothing happens in that book, yeah. Which is one of the reasons why I love it.
Yeah,
it was a big fight, and they haven't spoken since, until the day before Joe's funeral. But on the day before his funeral, Joe would be dead, wouldn't he?
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm quite angry at myself that it took me that long for that to click in my head.
Yes. Queen's Gambit by Elizabeth Freemantle. 31 and twice widowed, Catherine Parr must return to court. It's obviously a Henry VIII period novel.
Yeah.
M.C. Beaton has written Agatha Raisin and the Quiche of Death. I think I ate that quiche. It wasn't very nice.
But isn't there a TV series on that now called The Quiche of Death or something?
Yeah, I feel like they probably adapted it for Sky or something. Agatha Christie parody type thing.
Starring Ashley Jensen, I think.
Yes, I think it did.
Yes. That's all I know about that. I didn't bother.
I mean, it looked fairly
amusing. I don't like quiche.
Oh, quiche is great, especially if it's bacon. I should prefer just bacon quiche itself is basically the quiche of death.
Yeah, it is Agatha Raisin and the Quiche of Death TV series.
Yes.
I want a quiche now. Bacon.
Yes. Moving on. Minette Walters, Chicken Feed. This short novel is based on a true story, that of the chicken farm murder, which took place in Blackness, East Sussex, in December 1924.
So was it like an actual person that got murdered or just chickens?
Yeah, an actual person that got murdered. That's why I think that's why it's called Chicken Feed. Thorne was found guilty of the murder of Elsie Cameron.
Oh, that's right. Like he fed the chickens or something.
Yeah, but there were doubts about his guilt even at the time of the execution. Still swearing for his innocence, Norman Thorne was hanged on 22nd of April 1925. So, yeah. Moving on to a Robin Hobb novel. And I'm not sure why you have a Robin Hobb novel in here, because Robin Hobb is decent enough as a fantasy author, but not the best fantasy author.
No, they're definitely a lot better out there.
And this one is Assassin's Apprentice, which is obviously all about apprentices to assassins.
Some good deductive reasoning there.
Yes, I know. Author's great at writing, not so good at finding names. Mary Gibson has written Custard Tarts of Broken Hearts, which is, they call them custard tarts, the girls who work at the Pierce Stuff Custard and Jelly Factory.
Okay.
That's pretty insane. They should sue her for harassment.
Yes. Yep. So, yes, The Martian by Andy Weir. I'm stranded on Mars. I have nowhere to communicate with Earth. I'm in a habitat designed to last 31 days.
Bummer.
So it's basically buried.
I would speak to the contractor, because that is some poor building right there. I mean, clearly he didn't hire a good enough builder.
Now, next one is from a guy who annoys the hell out of me. I don't know why people find him popular. I don't find him popular. I find him a moron. He has a face that I just want to punch. That's right. We're talking about Carl Pilkington. and his book, The Morning Life.
So I was going to say...
Sorry, The Morning of Life.
People You Hate doesn't really narrow it down all that much.
But if he'd said she, I would have definitely gone for J.K. Rowling. I wanted to be on the list just to annoy Rob.
Yeah, The Morning of Life by Carl Pilkington. The Worldly Wisdom of Carl Pilkington by Carl Pilkington. Yes.
That's just basically a book of him complaining about stuff.
Yeah. A book by Annabelle Pitcher, My Sister Lives on the Mantelpiece, which is about 10-year-old Jamie Matthews, who has just moved into the Lake District with his dad and his teenage sister.
I don't know, when you think about the title, it sounds a bit dark when you think about what the title would represent.
Yeah, I know. So. Right, Springtide by Cilla Borglind and Rolf Borglind, which Springtides are the highest of the year in Nordkoster. The beach will be covered in particularly deep water tonight. Three men on the beach are digging a hole, covertly watched by a young boy. His intrigue turns to horror as he makes out a fourth figure, the woman for whom the hole is intended. Buried up to her neck in the sand, the high tide is rapidly approaching. Still screaming in terror, the victim takes her last breath as the water fills her nose and mouth. In her stomach, she feels her baby kick and her waters break.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That actually sounds like a real good story about survival.
No, it doesn't.
Well, no, because at that point, she's got more reason to try and survive.
24 years later, the abhorrent crime remains unsolved, yet the gruesome violence still occurs. Olivia Running hopes to follow in her father's footsteps and join the ranks of the police. It's basically, you know, those Nord Noir type things.
Yeah,
you know, trying to go for like Scandinavian authors who are pushing the boundaries, just like Stieg Larsson did with the girl with the dragon tattoo.
So it must be super dark.
Yes, so it must be super dark. Must make it shocking. We must make it morally bankrupt, because that is what Scandinavian crime fiction is all about.
I was thinking when you mentioned that her water's breaking, I think that just seemed unnecessarily dark.
Mm.
Yes, but that's generally Scandinavian crime fiction, unfortunately. There's not a lot of things to do up there when the sun goes down for 6 months.
Oh, you got to bring that into it, haven't you?
Yes. And? Yes. Anyway, moving on. We don't have a WTF award for literary loitering, but we really should for the last news story, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But first, and then there was one, the campaign to find the world's favourite Agatha Christie novel, right? The head-scratching genius of Murder on the Orient Express will compete with the genre-changing twist in the tale of The Murder of Roger Ackroyd when the estate of Agatha Christie launches a quest to find the best loved novel by the Queen of Crime. Now, do you guys know this? Agatha Christie novels are the best-selling novels in the history of the world.
Yes.
Oh, that's it. No, I didn't know that until now.
Yeah.
I'd assumed, like, Harry Potter would have overtaken them.
Oh, God, no.
No, at least Agatha Christie has a good few years on J.K. Rowling.
No. It's not the good few years. It's the fact that it's accessible crime fiction.
Yeah.
You know, if you are into crime fiction and you haven't read Agatha Christie, you can't call yourself a fan of crime fiction. It's that simple.
Yeah, because she's like pretty much the bar by which everything else is measured.
Yeah.
And she's been remade and reprinted and remade and reprinted. There have been TV shows and movies based on her books. And now the hunt is on to find which one people think is her best. And you know it's going to be something like The Murderer on the Orient Express.
Oh, yeah, it's the kind of cliche
answer.
That's
the one everyone's heard of.
Yeah.
It's not. You know it's not going to be one of the Miss Marple books.
No.
I like Miss Marple. Miss Marple was lovely.
Like, she is the detective I'd most want to solve crimes with.
Yeah, because she'll make you tea and scones
exactly.
as well.
And you'll have a lovely chat about who did it.
Yeah, you'll have a lovely chat about who did it. And not only that, she will make you dinner.
Yes. Oh, she was a real person now.
Yes. Yeah.
Although, in all that, I preferred watching the David Suchet Poirot TV series.
David Suchet's Poirot worked.
Really. When they did the Orient Express for Christmas, that was my favourite time.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Nah.
Right, moving on. Farrell Williams, this is our potential WTF award. He has published a children's book called Happy.
Because I'm happy.
Yes, Happy, which is based on the singer-songwriter's Oscar-nominated song of the same name, will feature photographs of children across countries and cultures. It has been bought by Penguin Random House UK and will be published under the famous children's imprint Puffin here.
As long as he doesn't write a follow-up called The Blurred Line.
No. No, because I'm sure Pharrell Williams wants to forget that Robin Thicke exists just as much as Robin Thicke wants to forget that he exists.
We all want to forget.
But when your latest effort sells what, 12 copies?
It's dedicated to my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I bet he got divorced after that.
Oh, apparently he did. Yeah. But no, I mean. Singers,
you know, though, Pharrell Williams, if this book sells, he's going to be going, yeah, because I'm happy.
Well, I guess he'll have to get lucky and hope it sells well.
No, can we stop the bad puns?
No, we can never stop the bad puns.
How many more Pharrell Williams songs can you remember? And
how much longer must we suffer? Won't you end this torture?
I'm trying, but no one will let me.
Yeah, I know you're trying.
I'm trying to end it.
That was another bad pun, sorry.
It really was. I'm just trying to end it all.
Right, okay. We're going to move into another book review from the brilliant Andrew.
Yeah.
What have we got this week, Andrew?
This week we have Ghosts of War, which is the sequel to Ghosts of Manhattan.
Yay!
Which you absolutely adored.
It's my favourite book ever written.
Okay, so tell us more about Ghosts of War.
Okay, so the ghost is back. He's doing more stuff. This time, it is 1927 and New York City is under attack. Flying among the airships, strange winged creatures swoop from the sky and carry away its citizens. And only the ghost can protect them. He is close to finding the Beast's creator, a deranged military scientist, but it soon becomes clear that the man has plans far beyond his creatures. The Cold War with the British Empire threatens to escalate into bloodshed, and there are murmurs of a terrible weapon that could fracture space itself. Only by making an uneasy alliance with a British spy will the hero, haunted by memories of his own war, stand a chance of preventing another. Yeah, that is the plot.
Okay.
And to be fair, it's a lot better than Ghosts of Manhattan.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it has much more of a coherent plot than the other one. Because like the first one, it's alternate universe New York, and they're in a Cold War with the British Empire. But forget all that, there's a gangster who does magic things.
Yay.
But this time it's kind of more linked in to the whole alternate steampunk world and the war with the British Empire. So like, it goes into more details. But basically, this is the book that the first one wanted to be.
Ah,
which is weird because the villain basically has like the exact same plan of I'm a gum or summon these horrible creatures from beyond, like in another universe.
So basically, like every single superhero comic in that has ever existed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting that. I mean, how does it work as a just basically? I mean, is it a crime novel? Is it something else?
It basically reads kind of like a spy thriller, this one.
All right.
Because a lot of it is them trying to find this British spy who's like in New York. Like through him, they find out, actually, there's this guy who's trying to start a war with the British Empire.
Okay. So it's a spy novel. Any gadgets? Any 007 moments?
Yes. That's another thing that just annoys me about the book series in the whole, is because it's steampunk. Basically, the ghost can have whatever he needs to solve things, and just they'll justify it by because steampunk. Like, he has a fletchette gun which shoots razor shards at people because steampunk. He has rocket boots strapped to his shoes because steampunk. He has goggles which work like far better than any binoculars known to man because steampunk.
Okay.
Right.
I'm confused by this book.
So, is it because steampunk?
Yes, basically. I know. I like steampunk. Don't get me wrong. I actually really like steampunk. I like the aesthetic of steampunk. You know, the brass, the polished brass, the wood, that sort of thing. And the whole kind of, the whole Victoriana type thing.
Yeah, so. I like it. It's just he's using it as an excuse for our hero needs this so he can have it, even though this technology wouldn't be available.
Hmm. So is it a recommendation from you?
I would still recommend it, though, because it is a fun read. It's just... Actually, I think basically what you need to do is kind of skip every couple of chapters, because sometimes it'll just be, and now we're going to take a break from the action so the ghost can talk about his feelings.
Oh, who wants
and
that?
Like,
feelings in a book.
I don't care.
The ghost should not have feelings. He's called the ghost. You don't want him to have feelings. You want him to be there. You want him to. You want him to. You know, kick backside and chew bubblegum and be out of bubblegum.
No, no. But you need to all the angsty melodrama about he was in the war and that made him sad. And then his girlfriend died and he got even sadder.
Except he got sad.
Wow. It's full on maelstrom in the center of my soul.
I've not even read the book, but I'm sorry.
That was the line from the first book, wasn't it?
Yes. Actually, if you want, I can read the even better, like, whole paragraph.
Go on then.
Okay. This was his city, the city he had sworn to protect, the city that permeated the very fabric of his being, that coursed through his veins, an immutable part of his psyche.
Say that again.
He really likes the city.
You lost me at the sharp turn at the left, right at the end there.
I'm still confused, and I've read it like several times. Like, I thought this was building up to a twist.
Is he the city then, or is the city him?
The ghost is a sentient city.
The ghost is a sentient city that just happens to be human at the same time.
The living embodiment of the city.
I think it's some sort of metaphor by a man who doesn't know what a metaphor is.
Nah, I just don't know.
You don't know. He had to read it.
Well, he should know then.
I wish I did.
Why don't we know?
Nobody knows.
I think we need to find the author and ask him, why don't we know?
Yes.
Quest... Let's do it. Let's do a quest.
Yes. Right.
Probably get him on the phone anyway.
Okay, right. We're going to move on to some little questions now.
Ooh.
We're going to test your knowledge about books.
Oh.
I like the look who are you again?
I'm Owen.
Simon? Jeffrey? Owen?
I'm Owen, yes. I've only been here for, since the beginning?
Yeah, I know.
Since the beginning. Did you start doing the show?
That's enough, Cornelius. We're on to the questions.
It's an awful wind-up. I kind of felt slightly unwanted at this show for a second there. You forgot my name. Anyway, you had a point.
Rob,
where are you again?
Rob, we have a third co-host. Hi, new co-host. When did you get here?
Luckily, no one can see what I'm... No one at home will see what I'm doing.
It's only because Andy's not here.
Exactly.
Also, I'm the target now.
Yes. You got to give as good as you get.
I'm too tired.
It's only because I just had chocolate. I'm just kind of, yay!
Yeah, you've perked up now.
Yeah,
so.
Blood sugar level is like... it's a good thing people can't see that look on my face.
I think you've had a bit too much sugar now.
Yeah, I think it was a bit too much.
It was one biscuit.
Yeah, I know. I don't eat sweet things normally. So, yeah, it's just kind of... I feel like bouncing off the walls a little bit. Anyway, moving on. We're going to give some first lines to books, and I'll give you four options, right? So, first lines to books, and I'll give you four options, and you choose from those four options which book is the right one.
Can I just ask one thing? What was the point of the whole thing where you're trying to remember my name? Was there a point to that, or were you just trying to wind me up?
I
don't know
no
what Bill is saying.
Okay, so you're just trying to wind me up, okay.
No, I wasn't trying to wind you up either.
Okay.
I actually honestly forgot your name.
All right.
Those moments where your brain goes, nope, I'm not giving you any more information until you feed me.
Yes, I've had that times when I'm trying to, when I think I have an answer to a question and the teacher said, yes.
Yeah. that was what happened there.
Yes.
Okay. That's why I was going, hang on, I know his name. He's been here for ages. What is it? Jeffrey, Ben, Richard, what is it?
Okay. All right, that's fair.
Just this list of names appearing in front of my eyes going, trying to figure out which one's the right one.
Come on, we've got a quiz that I need to win.
Oh, it is on.
Oh, it's on now.
It is on.
Right, okay. It was love at first sight. The first time Yossarian saw... this person, he fell madly in love with him. Is that from, which character is that? Is it the milkmaid, the butler, the chaplain, or Anna? And this is from Catch 22.
What were the options again?
The milkmaid, the butler, the chaplain, or Anna? It was love at first sight. The first time Yossarian saw blank, he fell madly in love with him.
Chaplin.
Butler.
It was Anna.
Oh.
Ah.
Oh, no, no. Actually, no, it was the chaplain.
Sorry. Yes!
No, it's a different question. Right, okay. Oh. Moving on. Two. In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me blank that I've been turning over in my mind ever since. Is that some advice, some criticism, or some instruction?
Criticism?
I'm going to go with advice.
Advice.
Oh.
Yeah. I am the good at books.
Number three. When I think of my wife, I always think of blank.
Cornettos.
No. Is it the back of her head, her golden hair, the way she looks when she's sleeping, her beautiful lips?
The way she looks when she's sleeping. I'm just going to go out.
Oh, I was going to go for that one.
You can both go for the same one.
Okay, I'm going to go for that one as well.
You're both wrong. It was...
Never trust Owen.
It was the back of her head.
I really didn't want to go for that. No. I did not want to go for that.
Literally, the end of my sentence was going to be, so I'll just go for the back of her head instead. Yeah. But then you'd let me pick the same one.
Right. All happy families are blank. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Is it weird, the same, alike, or boring? All happy families are blank. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. I believe this is from Tolstoy's Anna Karenina.
So what are the options again?
All happy families are blank. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Is the blank?
I'm going to go with the same.
The same, alike, or boring?
I would have gone for the same, but I'll just go for alike just to...
Score one for Owen.
Oh no!
2-1 at the moment. Question five. 10 days after the war ended, my sister Laura, blank, is it drove a car off a bridge, left, had a baby, or died? And this is from The Blind Assassin by Margaret Atwood.
Oh.
I'm going to go for drove a car off the bridge just to be overly dramatic.
I was going to go for had a baby. Oh,
yeah. Drove a car off a bridge. Right, so score is 3-1. Owen, you need to catch up, mate.
No, you don't. Just stay on the one. The one is a good score.
One's a good number.
From Pride and Prejudice, it is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of what? Is it A, a housekeeper, B, a good house, C, a son, or D, a wife?
It's wife. Pretty sure this is the one that I'm actually pretty sure on.
Yeah,
he said setting himself up for a massive fall.
Go for a wife, yeah.
Okay, you're both right.
Yeah.
Right.
Although that's only from the edited version then, Pride and Prejudice. Yes. Of the full book, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes. This one is from the book Alex Ferguson.
Oh.
If I needed a result to epitomise what Manchester United were about... It came to me in the game in game number 1500, my last West Bromwich Albion. In game 1500, my last West Bromwich Albion 5, Manchester United 5, blank. What's the last word? Is it unbelievable, crazy, wonderful, entertaining, outrageous, thrilling, or crazy, sexy, cool?
It's Ferguson, crazy, sexy, cool.
I've consulted with the great mind, and all it comes back with is, I don't care. So, unbelievable.
Crazy, wonderful, entertaining, outrageous.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that was all one thing.
Yeah. Well, I think there were three options, just some of them.
No, there was four options.
Oh, was there?
Yes. I will split them up a bit more. This is from The Catcher in the Rye. If you really want to hear about it, the first thing you probably want to know is where I was born and what my lousy childhood was like and how my parents were occupied and all before they had me and all that. Blank. But I don't feel like going into it if you want to know the truth. So, is that David Copperfield kind of crap? Boring crap stuff? That background stuff?
Sure, it's David Copperfield crap.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Well done.
Yep.
Right. From Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Me and Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number four Privet Drive were proud to say that they were blank, thank you very much. Is that perfectly normal, perfectly happy, or very successful?
I think perfectly normal.
Normal, yeah.
Correct. From Franz Kafka's Metamorphosis, as Gregor Samsa awoke one morning from uneasy dreams, he found himself transformed in his bed into what? Is it A, a cockroach, B, a tiny insect, C, a fairy, or D, a giant insect?
I think D, giant insect.
I'm going to go for cockroach.
A giant insect. Right.
I played the game and I lost.
Not quite lost yet.
Oh.
1984. We'll make this the last question.
Then I have lost.
Oh, yes. Can I not beat him at more things?
Okay, well, we've got 8 minutes of the show left, so you could.
Oh, God.
We'll run through these quickly. We'll run through the last few questions quickly. Right. 1984. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking. Is it 6, 1, 13, or 12? You guys should know this.
Yeah, I should.
The clocks were striking at what
13?
Time?
13?
12.
I think Owen takes this one.
Just because it was the weird one?
Yeah. So that's 4-2.
I'm disappointed I forgot that one.
Right, moving on. It was queer, sultry summer. It was a queer, sultry summer. The summer they blank, and I didn't know what I was doing in New York. This is from The Bell Jar. Is the blank A, dancing in the streets, B, rationed the water, C, all went crazy, or D, electrocuted the Rosenbergs?
What did the Rosenbergs ever do to anyone?
I'm going to say D, just because that sounds specific.
I'll go for D as well.
Correct. Right. This is from George Eliot. I think. Something about George Eliot, anyway. Miss Brooke had that kind of blank which seems to be thrown into relief by poor dress. Is it A, style, B, face, C, beauty, or D, body?
I want to say face.
I'll say face as well.
Nope. Beauty.
Ah.
Question number 14. From half of the Yellow Sun. Master was a little crazy. He had spent too many years blank overseas, talked to himself in his office, did not always return greetings, and had too much hair. Is the blank A, foreigners? Sorry, with foreigners. B, reading books, or C, getting wasted?
As it is a book show, I'm going to go for reading books.
I'm going to have to go racist and say foreigners.
Owen gets it. It's 4-3.
No.
You are unnecessarily
I became
racist.
A racist for nothing.
You are unnecessarily racist.
It's because that comic from earlier.
Yes.
You picked it up, and some of the inherent racism in the comic transferred to you.
Anyway, gosh, you 1950s that. Comic books.
From Moby Dick, and you guys should get this straight away.
Oh, God, no.
Moby Dick, the first line in Moby Dick is, call me blank. Is it A, Dick, Moby Dick, B,
Ishmael,
C, John, or D, Dick?
It's Ishmael.
I know it's Ishmael, but I want it to be Dick. Moby Dick. Licensed to whale.
Licensed to whale.
Oh.
Right, and finally, from Lolita by Nabokov. Right. Lolita, light of my life, fire of my lawns, my blank, my soul, Lolita, the tip of the tongue making a trip of three steps down the palate to tap at three on the teeth, Lolita. Is the blank love, temptation, or sin?
I'm going to say sin.
Even if I get this one, it's only a draw, so I'm going to go for... I'll go for love.
Correct.
Yeah!
So even if I'd gone that, you'd still won, so...
Well, no, there was only one in it. There was only 1 point left in it. You were 4-3.
Yeah, but then we would have both gotten that one, so it would still have been 4-3.
Yeah, true.
So I kind of went out in a blaze of glory.
Shut down. Don't even get me started on Bon Jovi.
It was totally worth becoming a racist who doesn't know a line from one of the greatest books ever written.
Yes. Anyway, that was you guys answering questions.
Yes, that was yes. Those guys.
We have
that
been.
That was you asking questions.
Yes, we have been literally loitering. I've been Rob.
I've been Andrew. Yeah, I'm going second this time.
Do you want to do that again?
I've been Andrew.
I've been Owen.
We'll see you all next week. Take care and have fun.